Hey everyone, welcome to the 18th episode of Pop Culture Rewind. I'm your host Travis, and before we get into this episode, I wanted to thank everyone who's been tuning in to hear us out. For those of you who are joining us for the first time, you can subscribe to our show on iTunes and Stitcher, as well as our website at popculturerewind.podbean.com. We've recently started going back and posting the past episodes on our YouTube channel, so go there and do a search for Pop Culture Rewind. If you like how we're doing, please leave us some feedback, tell your friends, and help get the word out. We do appreciate that. Now, with all that being said, let's escape to the rewind. All right, folks, we're back once again, and I'm joined once again by my good friend Xavier. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good.
All right.
Thank you for having me back again.
Yes, sir. And it's always always a fun time when you like to stop by or we get you on the show. So, but we have an interesting topic on this week's show.
Yeah.
Do you want to go ahead and divulge?
Okay, this one, thank you again for letting me. I was the one who pitched this to you also. And this one needs a little bit of clarification, and I feel like every idea we're going to talk about might even need a little clarification. It was, to sum it up, to make it quick and dirty, it's directors or actors, anybody really, who used to be pretty good, and now the quality of their work has since slumped. And they basically suck now, kind of.
A fall from grace.
A fall from grace, yeah. Now, I didn't want to lump people whose careers just fizzled out. You know, somebody was really good once, and now they're, you know, their career ended, and now they're not working anymore. I'm not going to call those people out. These are more people who are still relevant, who are still working, who are still, you know, making money and things like that. That's
millions.
More what I'm working. Millions, even.
Yes.
Yeah, in some cases, yeah. In some cases, these are some heavy hitters.
Yeah.
Whose work has suffered, but people are still eating it.
Right.
So, yeah. And like I said, I'll clarify some of these. Some of it's going to be tough love. Some of it is going to be bringing these guys to justice. but yeah, we'll get into that there.
All right. So, with that being said, let's... towards the end of this, maybe we'll maybe throw in some comeback kids or something to where... Or some kind of success
let's
stories.
Let's end it on a positive note. Yeah, because we're not all about... You know, hate and bringing people down here.
Well, it's fun.
It is fun, and it's easier. Yeah, it is easier to.
Yeah. But do you want to go ahead and get this party started here? What was the first one?
Here's one.
Just to show the listeners what we're talking about. What's a really good example of what you're talking about here?
Okay, I'm going to go a really obvious one.
Okay.
And something we've sort of been talking a lot about lately. Michael Bay.
Okay. Yeah.
And at first, I was going to say I didn't want to add him because that would be. To say that he sucks now, but to make him in the list means that at one point he was great. And then I was going to say, no, he was never great. But be honest,
well,
The Rock is arguably the best action movie of the 90s. That's almost a perfect movie, The Rock.
I think so, yeah.
And you know, I got a lot of love for Bad Boys. Armageddon is a hell of a lot of fun. The only issue with that one is when you go back and watch it, you can start to see where he's headed. But at the time, it was still a lot of fun. So, yeah, he had some really good movies back in the day.
Yeah.
Pearl Harbor, I think he started to stumble a little bit.
But here's the issue with that is as like you were saying towards like Armageddon started, you could start seeing characteristics that would manifest into bigger problems for his movies later on. But the movies, they keep making money.
Big time.
So
exponentially
more
money. Yeah.
So it was to the point where if it ain't broke, don't fix it. People will still buy the tickets for it, go see it, make money. So why, if you saw like if he, for him, I would imagine like he says, oh, okay, well, a couple character tweaks here and there in these movies, which made him quirky or whatever. If that worked a little bit in these movies, if they're even more crazier,
I had 10 explosions in this movie.
Yeah,
and it made $100 million. If I had 200 explosions, it'll make $200 million.
Logically, it makes sense. Mm-hmm,
yeah. But I mean, yeah, I don't need to walk you through his whole career. He's done Transformers, he's done The Island, and none of that stuff I think is as good as Bad Boys, The Rock, or even Armageddon. I'd say Bad Boys 2 was still a lot of fun.
Yes, I agree with that. Just the fact that he could have easily made it very campy, like some of his other franchise hits.
Yeah,
and he tried to go back to his original take on the first Bad Boys.
Mm-hmm.
So
I think Bad Boy 2 is a bit of a spike. But yeah, for the most part, Yeah, he's gotten out of control. Somebody needs to rein him in a little bit.
For me personally, back in the day, when you would say Michael Bay's doing it, it's like, oh, great, this is going to be good. Mm-hmm. And then it's, now it's like, Michael Bay's doing it. Ugh, really?
Okay. Yeah, now it's like a Michael Bay movie. People refer to other movies and they say, oh, it's like a Michael Bay movie. Like, it's brainless, it's just explosions, it's eye candy of effects and sexy women and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. And yeah, all that sells, explosion and women and all that. Anyways, like I, you know, I didn't want to dwell too much on him because what have we not already said about Michael Bay? Yeah, yeah, we've already talked about you talk about Transformers all the time. We already talked about Ninja Turtles, but yeah, I just want to get that one out the way.
Yeah, and if there's any listeners that would tend to have a good opposition to our view on that, let us know.
Please do. Okay, no, I'm curious now. I'm curious to know which ones you thought of.
Okay, well, when we're talking about going back to the director side of things. Mm-hmm. There's one director that almost immediately popped in my head when you told me about this idea, and it's more kind of going back in the day a little bit, but when you think of the success of Star Wars and Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi, and then George Lucas, I don't know, I don't know what happened with his style directing. I don't know, he went to more family friendly stuff, and it just, I think his,
yeah, he had kids and
yeah, I think that's what it was, because even when you, okay, he had a few, he didn't direct that much really.
He directed the first Star Wars, yes. And then an Empire and Jedi, yeah.
He didn't direct those, but for the, besides the Star Wars, he did American Graffiti, which is considered a classic, I think, and then some other things. But then he started stepping away from the director side of things and then went into producing, right?
Yeah, like with Willow and Howard the Duck.
Yeah, which I like Willow, and fuck it, I like Howard
the
Duck.
Oh, yeah, I like both those movies. Yeah.
But when it came to storytelling, directing, and everything, when it came back to the Star Wars franchise, I think that's really when he started to lose the trust in the fans. The fans started losing faith in him.
Yeah. Particularly Phantom Menace, because that was the first time he had directed in, 20 years or something like that.
Yeah.
And he did not have a knack for it. You know, the acting was really bad. You know, he couldn't get it before. It's just bad.
Yeah.
And yeah, you're right. I don't think he was ever really that much of a director. Even when you watch the first episode for New Hope Star Wars... Mm-hmm. You don't think the directing was really good. It was just such a new idea, the effects and the fantasy aspect of it, all that. But I don't think the directing was particularly the strongest thing about Star Wars.
And even then, that goes back to just the name recognition. George Lucas did it. And now it's like, George Lucas did it. You know, it's got a weird connotation.
And now it's like George Lucas sold off all the Star Wars and the fans rejoiced that he was gone.
You know, also, I don't know if this is true or not, but apparently there were, George Lucas, give some input or ideas or whatever for episode 7 that's coming out, and all of them got rejected.
Really?
They're not using any of his ideas or nuances or anything. So.
Yeah, I mean, there's sound bites of him vehemently defending Jar Jar, saying what a great idea this is, that the fans are going to love this, and it shows he really did not have his pulse on what people wanted.
No, it's he wanted what his kids wanted.
Yeah, and there's probably a lot of directors, you look at them, once they become family men, they start to lose the edge, things like that. Anyways,
but you know, that's one that came in my mind when you told me about this. So,
okay, we already mentioned two directors. I'm going to shake things up a little bit, and I'm going to mention an actor again. I'm going to start kind of Nick Cage.
Yeah,
and I want to get through this one really quick because again, what?
Well,
what can
I think
be said
this is a special case. So, if you got something to say about Nicolas Cage, go take do it.
Well, I mean,
do
I love Nicolas Cage in the '80s. You know,
even the '90s.
Raising Arizona. And Moonstruck and all that kind of stuff were some great movies.
Leaving Las Vegas,
and then he kind of reinvented himself a little bit with Face Off and Con Air and
The
Rock.
Rock,
bam, bam, bam. Yeah. Those are three awesome action movies that he did, and three great action movies. And now he's just become like a punchline for bad movies. Plus, that guy churns out so many movies like crazy, and a lot of them you're like, I didn't even heard of this movie, you already see it streaming. Or something like that. When did this one even come out?
Last night we're flipping through Netflix and we saw three Nick Cage movies all in a row.
And I was like, I didn't even heard of these movies. You know, this is kind of the epitome. He used to be great and now not so much. I can't even remember the last time I really enjoyed Nick Cage in anything, to be honest.
The last one I wanted to like him in was Ghost Rider.
The first one?
Yeah.
Either
one. I mean, I wanted to like the movie. You know, it's just something about it was just...
I don't know if... Yeah. I remember hearing him, and I remember thinking, like, I don't know if he was right for Ghost Rider. And I know Nick Cage is a big comic book fan. Mm-hmm. You know, he loves comic. And I always figured, like, oh, he used his clout to just get on board mm-hmm. whatever comic book property... Like, the next comic book property is being made, I imagine he's sort of like, I want in on that.
Well, you got to think at the time, that's not a bad idea. I mean, strategy. I mean, if it's comic yeah. movies are all the rage right now, so.
Yeah, and this was back when they weren't as established as they are now. They were right. trying anything. They were trying Daredevil. They were trying this and that. And most of them were failing at the time, that first Punisher movie. And,
yeah.
And they were like, fuck it, let's try this with Nicolas Cage. So, but yeah, like I said, what could be said? And he's kind of like become a cliche almost.
Is there any rebound for him? Like, do you think what would it take to get Nick Cage back as a like a serious contender for like, oh, Nick Cage is doing it? Let's go check it out, you know?
I don't know, because he seems to do a lot of action movies.
Yeah.
And I think if he gets back to trying to act, like take a more dramatic role or something serious, nothing where things aren't blowing up or he's trying to rescue somebody, you know, plus he's getting a little old.
Mm-hmm.
You know, step back from that and get take on a more serious role. He's an Oscar-winning actor. We know he can act.
True.
You know, give that a go.
Try acting.
Try acting for once. Yeah, there you go. So yeah, there's Nick Cage.
It's kind of weird when we're saying like, you know, he can act and this and that. You know, try stepping away from the action and things like that. What if, I didn't mean to talk about this particular actor, but Jim Carrey.
Damn it. Was he on your list? Let me cross that off my list. Okay, yeah.
No, when we're talking about this, I was just thinking of, what was that movie, 23?
The number 23.
The number 23, yeah. And that's what made me think of that particular movie we're talking about, Nick Cage. And
that he tried on
seriously acting? He tried something, yeah. It was something different and maybe not his usual cliched stereotype thing that he can do.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Jim Carrey isn't a bad actor. And he did try and veer away from comedy. He did, but the thing is, every comedy role he did, he kind of had it. Every serious role he did for a while there kind of had a toe also. Like Truman Show.
Mm-hmm.
It was a serious role, but it was also a little silly premise. He can be a little funny. Then he did Man on the Moon.
Yeah.
It was a serious role, but he was playing a famous, you know, comedic performer. Things like that. He didn't go full-on dramatic like he did with the number 23. He tried to go full-on serious role, and I don't think that movie did
maybe
that well.
The audiences overall just didn't take to it.
Yeah. I will say Eternal Sunshine of a Spotless Mind. I thought he was great in that. I thought he held his own opposite Kate Winslet, who's like an amazing actress and everything. Yeah. Lately, you know, with Penguins, Popper's Penguins, and other stuff. What has he done lately?
Choices,
he's done some weird stuff.
Well, the sequel to Dumb and Dumber.
The Dumb and Dumber sequel, too. Yeah. Is he getting too... Like, if he was to come up with an Ace Ventura 3, would you want to see a 50-year-old Jim Carrey bending over talking out of his ass
I don't
anymore?
You know what? I haven't seen the sequel to Dumb and Dumber.
Neither have I.
I don't want... It's like... It's too... I think the time has passed too much for that. I think they're too old for those characters, but...
Yeah. I mean, how long... It was 94, 95? It was like 20 years later that a sequel... Yeah. I think it was too late.
Yeah. And then... I remember when that movie was coming out... Him and
Jeff Daniels.
They were going on like all talk shows and they were like being like quirky and funny and like trying to be those characters like on the talk shows and it was like you're trying so hard to be. I mean, you don't have to do that, you know. It's I don't know why they. Maybe they just said screw it, let's just do the movie, let's have fun with it. But
yeah,
what else they got to lose? But
yeah, that's the thing. Neither of them seem like they need the money or that they're you know struggling to. I don't know why they... I don't know. Jeff Daniels, he shouldn't have done it.
Yeah.
Jim Carrey, I mean, I don't know. Jeff Daniels is doing... What has he done? Like, he was doing good on The Newsroom. He was still relevant.
Yeah.
He's still around.
I think The Newsroom turned him around, actually.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
And it was like...
Which was kind of weird that I thought that he took that role for Dumb and Dumber.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you didn't need to be doing this. Jim Carrey will always be Jim Carrey. We won't be surprised to see him acting goofy. But, like, that was, like, a weird thing in 1994. Four or five that Jeff Daniels did, and you're like, oh wow, Jeff Daniels can be funny and all that kind of stuff. Plus, he looks so old in it. Mm-hmm. It was like sad to see him making those stupid faces when you're just so old. Just seeing both of them that old. They tweeted a picture before the movie came out of both of them in character, and it made me sad to see. It's also reminded me how old I am. It's been 20, you know.
That's why I hate that movie already. So, yeah. I haven't seen it.
Okay, well, Jim, was that your idea then?
Sure. Well, had another one? Yeah.
Okay, well,
I think I can tell you already have more of a list than I do, so.
Okay. Well, I'm going to take it back to directors, and All right, this is a random one. I was going to go for an obvious. This is a random one, kind of. Not random, but I don't know if you're going to agree with me on this one. Jon Favreau. What is... Whatever the fuck. You know, as a writer, he had Swingers. Mm-hmm. And as director, you know, he started out... You know, he had Zathura and then Elf and then Iron Man. And those were really good. And I don't think Iron Man 2 is that good. I thought Cowboys and Aliens... I don't know why that didn't... It didn't seem to work.
At all. No, yeah. It was kind of weird. I thought... first of all, for Iron Man 2, I think that's subjective. I think some people hate it. Some people love it. I don't know.
Yeah. This isn't a debate over the merits of Iron Man 2.
But I just got to throw that out there. Mm-hmm. So, but then, yeah, around that same time, Bell was Cowboys and Aliens. And nobody took that movie at all. Like, I don't know. It bombed, like, severely.
Yeah, and I caught it on TNT like a week or so ago, and I pretty much watched damn near the whole thing because I wanted to give it a second go again, and yeah, it just didn't work for some reason. It didn't come together properly, and he just recently did a movie called Chef, which I think is kind of a passion project of his.
I think so.
He plays like a chef who quits his job and then gets a food truck because he's like pursuing his passion, and he's trying to reconnect with his son, and I was bored. I was like, no, I didn't care for that either. And I don't know what he's going to do next.
So you're thinking because of the last two, or in your mind, the last three movies, that it's...
He hasn't had that long of a career.
Right, yeah.
And as a writer, I correct me if I'm wrong, I think he wrote Couples Retreat. I think he co-wrote that too.
I think so, yeah.
And that was kind of like... That was like an Ocean's 12. That was just an excuse for him and his buddies to go on a vacation and get paid to do it.
True, yeah.
Kind of a thing. And that movie has some funny bits, but again, that movie doesn't really work that well.
He's more known... I mean, I guess nowadays he's more known as a director, but I mean...
I mean, he still acts every once in a while. Yeah. And he's, like, he was in I Love You, Man, and I thought he was really funny in I Love You, Man, but it was just a little bit part in that one. But, I mean, the thing is, I think Iron Man 2 was really, really good. I think of all the Marvel movies, it's in the top three of all the
Iron
best
Man.
Ones. What'd I say?
Iron Man 2.
No, oh, I'm sorry. Oh, yes, please, correct me. Yes. Iron Man 1.
I was tempted to leave that slip in there.
Sorry, no, Iron Man 1 is right up there next to Avengers and Guardians.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. And plus, Iron Man 2 was such a step backwards. It was, Iron Man 1 existed in this cool reality of a world. I can buy almost anything that happens in Iron Man 1. And then Iron Man 2, it got silly, and it started getting... And you get the feeling like all that success went to his head and everything like that, and he didn't know what to... And he started getting more notes. I think nobody expected Iron Man to work, that they let him do what he wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
And again, maybe it's not even his fault. Maybe once they realized how successful Iron Man was and the studio took an active interest, we'll add more holograms. You know, give fucking Tony Stark a goddamn holodeck in his... That I hated that scene in the beginning when he's just shoving holograms aside like they're nothing. And I thought that was stupid.
And Iron Man 1 was still Paramount, I believe.
Yeah.
And then Marvel Studios was Iron Man 2, I believe.
Yeah. And then the shoving Black Widow in there, turning Iron Man 2 into basically a big preview for the Avengers. It kind of like stopped the movie. Let's focus on this Avengers plot. I don't know.
You can't really fault him for it. I mean, it was a setup for the Avengers. So, I mean, what are you going to do?
But it was like the little post-credit scene that Iron Man 1 had, it was like that was the whole... third act or whatever of Iron Man 2. It's like they took that scene and blew it up into a... I don't know. Anyways, I like Jon Favreau. If I hear he's coming up with another movie, I think I might still be a little bit optimistic. I'm hoping he could still do better.
Mm-hmm.
But the last few he's done, like I said, he's only directed a handful of films.
Yeah.
Well, the last few, have not impressed me.
Okay.
Especially because I know he can do good work.
Right, yeah.
He's a good writer as well. I thought Swingers was a hilarious movie.
Do you think if... Maybe he gets tired of directing. Maybe he can just go back to writing.
I'd be more excited to see
producing
a movie. Yeah, totally. He's Jon Favreau. He's. Did you ever watch Dinner for Five? It was a TV show he had on like Independent Film. It was basically like a podcast.
Yeah.
He would sit at a table and he'd have four guests and they'd have dinner and there'd be cameras set up all around and they would just talk. It was essentially like kind of like a video podcast.
Oh, really?
Like back in the day, he arguably might be one of the first early podcasters. So for that, we owe him another debt.
Yeah, for starting that trend.
Uh-huh, yeah. Anyways, so yeah, Jon Favreau, there's one of my guys.
Okay.
Favreau, whatever the... What is it? Favreau? I've heard both.
I call him Favreau. I don't know.
I've heard both. I don't know.
Yeah. All right. There was a don't know what I'm going to say, debate or anything, but talking about shaking things up, Eddie Murphy. You could say, I mean, Eddie Murphy in the 80s.
No, you're right, you're right. I'll agree that he's not that good now. I was gonna pitch something, but then I thought that this might come back and bite me, a formula to say that, like, you really had to weigh it and do the math, and, like, a guy had to have more shitty movies than good ones.
Mm-hmm.
And Eddie has a lot of good ones.
Yes, he does, yeah. And you can't take that away from him.
No. You know, yes, yes. It's like, if he had, like, 20 good ones and 5 bad ones, would that make him exempt from the list? But then I thought that might come, you know.
That might compromise your list, yeah.
Exactly. So that just has to be, we just have to weigh it case by case and say, does he, when was the last, okay, let me ask you, what was the last good Eddie Murphy movie to you?
With him as credited in the movie, probably one of the Shreks, just his performance, voice acting. But as far as physical movie, like actual movie that he did.
I said Eddie Murphy movie.
Okay.
That's right. Not an Eddie Murphy movie.
I really like,
you know, let me say mine. I think the last one I can actually say I loved Eddie Murphy was probably Bowfinger.
Really? Okay. I was gonna say, not that as my example, but I was gonna say, like, Bowfinger might have been like maybe the start of the decline.
Really? Okay. Yeah. Well, the thing about Bowfinger though is he plays two people. He plays the loudmouth,
yeah,
the one with the Eddie Murphy we know now.
Right.
And I agree. I didn't like that loud, annoying Eddie Murphy because that's also sort of what he's become, but. He played the other character, the quiet, I'm Jeff, and I thought that was a hilarious bit. And that version got all the scenes with Steve Martin.
Yeah.
And them two together, I thought, were funny. But then when it would cut to the loud, you know, what's not hasta la vista, baby, kind of Eddie Murphy. Yeah, that's loud and abrasive. And then he started doing the Dr. Doolittles and the Daddy Daycares and the one about the dreams or something like that. I don't even know. And the one where he's in the robot, he's like a little guy. In a robot of him, Meet Dave,
yeah. And I was thinking of like Pluto Nash, Norbit.
Oh my god, yeah. He has made a lot of shit.
Yeah.
But again, like, you know, we saw that thing he did on SNL, and it was
right, yeah.
Where Chris Rock talked about him, and he talked about how awesome, how long his career is.
He single-handedly saved Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, all that kind of stuff.
Blown it up a little bit too much, but
yeah. And what he reminded me, like, wow, yeah, Eddie does have a really long, lustrous career in the '80s. In early 90s, you know, yeah, he was the king, man. You know, those Beverly Hills Cops movies.
And I still love Delirious.
The 48 Hours, his stand-up, Delirious and Raw. Those, I remember crying, laughing at those as a little kid. And I learned, it's like I almost learned how to cuss from what ha-ha, very funny, motherfucker. Yeah. I used to say that all the time.
I can't tell you how many times you've done that to me in high school, man.
Very funny, motherfucker. Oh, yeah. Yo. No, but you're right, though. You're right. He hasn't had a hit. I'm not going to say he had a hit, but he hasn't had a good movie outside of... And he probably really hasn't had that successful a movie outside of those Shreks. I don't know if anything he does makes that much money. Did you see Tower Heist?
Yes.
How was it?
I did not like it. It was... Okay, yeah. It was just one of those things where it sounded like really good because anytime it has Matthew Broderick in it, I want to like it because it's Ferris Bueller.
Uh-huh.
And then with Eddie Murphy, some of the scenes that he was doing, he was trying to bring back some of the more abrasive side of his attitude and everything. But
was it PG-13 or R?
I want to say it was R. I could be mistaken on that one.
Okay, well, if Eddie wants to get back on track, my advice to him is to do a R-rated movie.
Yeah,
you know, you've been hearing it for years that they're going to do Beverly Hills Cop 4. I don't know if that's ever going to get off the ground. He might. I can see him being, you know, going back to the well.
Mm-hmm.
But make it an R-rated movie, please. I do not want to see a toned down Axel Foley.
Yeah, it was PG-13 for Tower Heist.
Okay, well then that doesn't make me hopeful if they do. Anyways. Eddie Murphy. It's funny, we're talking about Tower Heist. There's another one on my list I want to mention. Ben Stiller.
Ooh, okay. Yeah.
Again, he was so great in the 90s, even directing, you know, Reality Bites was a great movie, and Ben Stiller Show, I loved it. It was only on for one season, but there's some really funny stuff in there. But yeah. I can't think of anything he's done lately. I don't enjoy those Night at the Museum movies. I don't even enjoy the Meet the Fockers parents, yeah. What have you. I think Tropic Thunder was a step back in the right direction for him.
I think so.
Because that was an R-rated movie, too.
Yeah, yeah.
But I can't think of anything he's done. The one with the neighborhood watch, I saw like 30 minutes of that on TV. It didn't wow me. But Ben Stiller used to be really good. He's Reality Bites in particular, probably because, you know, I was in the 90s and everything like that.
Yeah, I think The Watch was like his last, like him as a, not doing a, like a voice or anything. But I think The Watch was.
What does
like,
he do voice work? Zoolander was hilarious.
Yeah.
He directed that one too. He's directed a handful of ones.
I love Dodgeball.
Yeah, I think he also directed. Yeah, he was. Yeah, okay, you're right. Dodgeball was because he was in a little supporting role. It wasn't like a Ben Stiller movie. But I think he also directed that Secret Life of Walter Mitty, which I didn't see. Some people told me, you know, like, and don't bother, but I don't know. I hear they're going to make a Ben Stiller 2. I mean, a Ben Stiller 2. A Zoolander 2. It's one of those things mm-hmm. they've been talking about for a while. And again, it's like, that was 13, 14 years ago. There's got to be, like, a statute of limitations on making sequels. If it's been, like, more than so many years, just don't do it.
Forget about Envy.
Envy, oh my god, I remember seeing that in the theaters and remember thinking it sucked. I also saw another movie he did with a Duplex, which also sucked too. Yeah. That was really disappointing. And yeah, it's like, I can't even remember the last good, Tropic Thunder is probably the last good Ben Stiller movie, and that was several years ago. Oh, so also The Heartbreak Kid with the, oh, you know what, that makes me think of, because the Farrellys did that.
Uh-oh.
And I think the Farrellys have not been funny for a while. I mean, right out the gate, they were like Dumb and Dumber, then Kingpin,
right?
Then Something About Mary. I mean, holy shit, those were three hilarious movies. And they were still doing good with Shallow Hal and Stuck on You. And then I'm trying to think of what they did. Then they did like The Heartbreak Kid, which I thought sucked. And then they did, I did not care for Me, Myself, and Irene. That's just me. Mm-hmm. What else has the Farrelly Brothers did? I mean, obviously, they did that Three Stooges movie. Which I didn't see, but
I forgot about that movie. It didn't look that funny,
yeah, at all. And now, they just did the Dumb and Dumber reboot. I think the Farrellys are another really good example of people who used to be really good, and now they're not so much. I think their first few movies were, at least their first three, Dumb and Dumber, Kingpin, and Something About Mary, were three of the funniest movies in the 90s.
Yeah, and I mean, so close to each other, too. It's just like they were on fire for...
Yeah, because it was just like one right after another that these guys were like, oh my god, these guys can't do any wrong.
Yeah.
And then I think they did Me, Myself, and Irene, and I don't know, I thought it was a stumble, which is why I think that... I don't want to sound like a prude or nothing, but there was like a lot of offensive shit in that movie.
In which one?
In Me, Myself, and Irene. And a lot of... It was kind of cruder humor than what they needed
to do. I just can't remember that much about the movie, honestly. It's just...
Like, I'm not saying I was like personally offended, but I was like, you guys don't need to work on that level. You guys were really witty. Yeah, it was kind of a little bright. And then I think they took a step with Shallow Hal. That was actually one of their more like sweeter films and like touching a little bit. It's like they tried, okay, well, Me, Myself, and Irene, okay, let's try and go back to Shallow Hal. And then Stuck on You also had a lot of heart also too.
I don't think
too.
I've seen Stuck on You. Was that the joined twins?
Matt Damon and Greg Kinnear could join twins. That one's funny.
Is it?
It does have a little bit of heart to it too, yeah.
I kind of like, you know, it's funny with Shallow Hal. I was, when I was in the theater, I kind of pop in every once in a while just to check in on it. And I was liking what I was seeing. It's like, okay.
Shallow Hal and Stuck on You are pretty good.
Yeah.
It's like almost everything after that I haven't really cared for. But anyways. All right, yeah. So, yeah, I went from Ben Stiller to the Farrellys. What's one?
I gotta ask you a question.
Okay.
What the hell happened to Tim Burton?
He
was good,
he
right?
met Johnny Depp.
Oh, well...
It took a while. Yeah. It took a while for them to. Don't get me wrong. They made, you know, okay, now, okay, Johnny Depp. We can kind of lump these two together.
Yeah, we're going back and forth on this one.
Because a lot of their stumbles, they did hand in hand. don't get me wrong. In the beginning, like Edward Scissorhands, which was their first collaboration and one of Johnny Depp's, if not his first starring role, was a great movie. It's arguably one of Tim Burton's best movies. It's probably one of their best movies. And they've worked together. They did Ed Wood together, which is great. Again, one of my favorites. They did. I know they did some other good ones before I get
was
into the shitty ones.
He wasn't in Sleepy Hollow, was he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Which I enjoy. Some people lump that as like his shitty one. But I enjoyed Sleepy Hollow a lot.
I'm going to go back and watch that one again because I saw it, but it was 1999. I've only seen that one time.
Yeah, I remember. I was working in a movie theater back, a different one. And I know they have some better ones. Okay, but look at the shitty ones. It's like, those are all fresh in my head.
I'm just going off of just him as a director, Charlie and Chocolate Factory. I think that's a start. I think that's... Unless you can think of something before that, but... Well, maybe Big Fish, but that could at that time, that could have been just like a one-off bad...
I don't mind Big Fish that much, to be honest.
Really? Okay, well...
Yeah. Okay, well, are we trying to figure out where Johnny went off the rails or where Tim went off the rails?
Well, I'm going off of Burton.
Okay, so yeah, when did he start to suck? Charlie?
Well, you know what? I think even before that, maybe Planet of the Apes.
Oh, God. Oh, my God. How I must have purged that from my mind. You're right, because I remember thinking at the time I was excited about this movie. I was like, Tim Burton, Planet of the Apes. I went in there really excited, and it had some actors. Well, I didn't like Mark Wahlberg that much at the time, but I was like, Tim Roth is in it, and there was some cool people. And I was like thoroughly disappointed, and I wouldn't even believe it about Tim. I'm like, no way. Are you sure that was a Tim Burton movie? Like, I couldn't buy it.
It didn't feel like a Tim Burton film.
Yeah, it was just like, it was bad. And then that started a trend of him doing like shitty remakes, like Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. I thought that sucked.
Oh, Sweeney Todd. We didn't mention that one.
Sweeney Todd. I saw that in theaters. Johnny Depp, yeah. I thought the singing was kind of exhausting. Really? It was just a lot of singing. And Dark Shadows was not so much a remake, but it was a remake of a show, which is another bad Tim Burton, Johnny Depp. Alice in Wonderland, another bad. Yeah. Like, them two got together and started trying to redo stuff, and they were
like,
just
it got to a point where he had to remake his own movie, Frickin' Weenie.
Which I didn't see.
I didn't see either.
For all I know, that could be good.
Yeah, well. I know Big Eyes just came out. Did you watch that one?
I did.
Yeah?
I think it's a little refreshing. It's more return. It's kind of like a Big Fish kind of thing. It's kind of like, that's not really like very Tim Burton-ish at all.
Okay.
It's actually, you know, I'm not going to say it was that good. I found it a little boring, but it was refreshing. It wasn't like god-awful like everything else he's been doing lately. In that sense, it was a little refreshing.
Okay. So what about Johnny Depp, though?
Okay, Johnny Depp. Well, again, I think most of what he's been doing bad started when he started going bad when Tim Burton... okay, well, here's the thing about Johnny Depp. It's like he was always... He did his own thing.
Yeah.
He did what he wanted.
You gotta take that in consideration, especially for him.
Yeah, he was doing what he wanted to do. He wasn't making big blockbusters. And then Pirates of the Caribbean came along.
There you go.
And I don't think he expected this to be a big franchise, a huge commercial hit, all that kind of stuff. It was like, all of a sudden, he's A-list now. And all of a sudden, he has all these opportunities now. And... He was still cool for a little bit. You know, Captain Jack Sparrow was a really fun character, but now he's, you know, I'm looking up IMDb now. I want to find out when, like, right after Captain Jack, he did that. He was still good for a little while. Because, I mean, okay, From Hell was in 2001. Okay, after that, he did Once Upon a Time in Mexico, which is a fun movie.
Yeah.
It was a small part. Secret Window, Finding Neverland. Finding Neverland, they say, was good. I thought it was a little slow and boring, but whatever. It's a passion thing for him. Oh, Corpse Bride is one we forgot that they collaborated on.
Oh, did they?
And I kind of enjoy Corpse Bride, actually.
He did the voice of that one?
Yeah, he was the voice of the main character.
Oh, okay.
Then he did a couple more Captain Jack movies, then Sweeney Todd, then another Captain Jack movie. And plus, the Pirates movies also started to go downhill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
By the fourth, I was like, really, a fourth one? I wouldn't say it's a good trilogy, but you wrapped everybody up.
Yeah,
and now you're just milking it again.
Yeah.
And then the Tourists, that Angelina Jolie...
I'm already drawing a blank on that one.
It was a movie you did with Angelina Jolie in 2010, and that was just like a whole, oh my god, there's two huge huge movie stars.
Yeah,
come and watch this movie.
Yeah, okay.
And The Rum Diary, which I didn't care for. It was based on a Hunter Thompson book, so I was a little hopeful, because Fear and Loathing is one of my favorite movies of all time, and it's a great book. Johnny Depp was great in it. Johnny Depp, you know, him and Hunter were friends. He knew him really well. And The Rum Diaries, it just was off. It didn't have any of the charm from the book.
Did you like Rango?
I didn't see Rango.
It was all right, but I don't know. A little animated flick. I mean, nothing major.
And then, you know, Mordecai. I haven't seen that, but it just looks stupid.
I've actually heard it was pretty bad. I haven't seen it myself, but...
It looks dumb. And I just recently saw... And you know what? This is a good to segue into someone else. I just recently saw Johnny Depp in a new movie recently. And he plays this French-Canadian guy who speaks with a French accent, and he has a stupid mustache. I think he's even wearing a fake nose. And he is like, what?
It's Mordecai, isn't it?
No. It's a movie called Tusk.
Oh, he's in Tusk?
He's in Tusk. He's not even credited. He's credited on the list as his character's name. It's like they were trying to keep it hush-hush. And I thought maybe it would be a cameo. It turns out, no, he's in, like, the whole last half of the movie. Do you know what Tusk is?
Yeah. The Kevin Smith flick.
The Kevin Smith. And that segues into the next one. Kevin Smith. Again, I feel like, what do we have to say? I mean, it's not even that his movies suck now, because he kind of stopped making movies for a while.
Yeah.
He kind of just became podcasting full-time.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, he did the View Askew Universe, and then he tried a couple random things. He tried that Red State, and he Cop Out. Cop Out was like him trying to actually just be a director, not his own property, nothing he wrote, just working for the studio, trying to be, you know, that kind of a thing. And I haven't seen it. I hear it sucked. Kevin Smith has admitted that movie sucks. He admitted he hates Bruce Willis, doesn't get along with him, anything like that. And then he kind of got out of filming for a long time. And he hung up his director's coat and said, right, I'm done with it.
Yeah.
Director's hat, but, you know, he wears that fat coat. Right. So
I see what you did.
And then he apparently he was doing a podcast, you know, several months ago, whatever, a year. And they just randomly came up with an idea for a movie. And he says that sparked an inspiration. And the fire started burning, the passion again to directing. And he made this low-budget movie called Tusk, which I thought was awful. I thought it was a terrible movie, but apparently he's going to make two more of these, and it's going to be like...
Really? Oh, I didn't know about that.
It's part of a trilogy. He's called it, like, the Great North Trilogy. They're all going to be set in Canada now, and they're all loosely related. It's like another View Askew Universe, where characters from Tusk are going to appear in... Johnny Depp's daughter and his daughter are going to be, like, the stars, or at least a part of two more movies that Kevin Smith is making.
Oh, man, that's disappointing.
And I thought Tusk was just awful. Even the dialogue, which is usually good at writing, you know, cool, witty dialogue. Just two people sitting talking. Usually that's kind of fun in his movies. Even that was boring. The movie made no sense. It was...
When we're talking about Kevin Smith, I was actually going to be ready to maybe even defend it or counterpoint to what you're saying. But now I'm, like, revisiting some of his other movies that he's done. It's like, God, this is kind of hard to defend it. But because I love all the older ones that he did. You know, The Clerks, Mallrats, Chasing Amy, Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back. I love all those movies.
You love Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back?
Yeah, it was fun. I like it. I like what it was.
I don't like that one that much. No? I actually like Dogma more than Jay and
Silent Bob. Dogma, yes. Dogma was a clever movie. I liked Dogma. But I forgot about Jersey Girl. That was
I forgot about that one, too.
Yeah.
I never saw that one.
Jersey Girl, even Clerks 2.
Yeah, I thought that would be him going back to his old form and... Like, and there was a few scenes, like when they're talking about Lord of the Rings and they're making fun of it. That was like, okay, that's Kevin Smith. That's what people pay to see when they want to see a Kevin Smith movie.
I mean, it wasn't. Yeah. It was so forced. Mm-hmm. I don't know. And then Zach and Mary McAponnell.
He's even admitted that was him selling out. That was him thinking, oh my God, Judd Apatow is raking in millions making these kind of movies. I'm going to try and make a Judd Apatow movie. That was him going away from what he does, trying to be something else.
Okay, that makes sense actually.
Even if you look at the cast, like Craig Robinson and Seth Rogen, Elizabeth Banks, he even pulled a lot of Apatow's regulars to star in
that
this
movie.
That
is true. Yeah,
even that little Indian man who's, you know, that guy who's a 40-year-old virgin, all that. He even put him to do the same shtick he does. He's just, oh, it's funny to hear a little Indian man curse and you know, talk about that. Life is not about butthole pleasures and all that.
Well, it is
that
funny.
It's funny, but it's like he's literally taking all the framework of what Apatow was doing and tried to be him.
Besides that, there was Cop Out. We just talked about that. Red State, I kind of dug that one a little bit. It wasn't bad, I don't think.
I haven't seen that one.
Give that one a shot, just because it's a different take on what type of movie normally does. Tusk, I really haven't seen that one, but I don't have no reason I should go watch it. I don't have no anticipation to watch it.
I learned about this movie. I was listening to Kevin Smith on a podcast. He was talking all about it. And then that very day, I had like a free Redbox, buy one, get one rental. And I went and I saw Tusk there. I was like, you know what? Screw it. I just heard him talk about this. I'm a little curious. And I did not. I thank God I had it on DVD because I hit like the double speed to get through it, because I was literally like getting bored. Like, how much is left of this movie? Let me watch it at double speed just to get through it.
Wow.
That's not a good sign when you're trying to rush through a movie.
So yeah, I was, like I said, I was ready to defend him, but after further investigation.
Okay, well, Kevin Smith, that's my take. Who's next for you?
What do you think about Adam Sandler?
Oh God, yes. It seems it's hard for a comedian to have longevity as a comedic actor. So we've already talked about Ben Stiller. We talked about Eddie Murphy.
I do see a theme in here, yeah.
Yeah, now we're Adam Sandler. And you're right, again, that's kind of like everybody knows he sucks now.
I think even he knows he sucks now. I don't know.
I don't think he does. Or, you know, he must know, and he, I don't think he cares.
Yeah, because he's getting paid.
Because he's making millions. I don't think, and that right there almost pisses me off. I could forgive him if the talent just went away, but he's trying to make good movies and failing. That, yeah, I could at least forgive him for that. But I think he knows he's making shit, and I think he's laughing all the way to the bank, and he's the only one laughing because his fans aren't.
I'm trying to think. What was the last good
blended? Oh, good one.
Yeah.
Oh God, last good Adam Sandler movie. Well, what did you think of Funny People?
I don't like it.
Okay, but that's not so much. Okay, we should also clarify. There's Adam Sandler movies, and there's movies with Adam Sandler in it. Like Punch Drunk Love, the one where he plays like a guy who survived 9/11 and things like that. Occasionally he tries something different. And then there's the straight up Adam Sandler movies. That Happy Madison produces, the mm-hmm. ones that have all of his friends in it, the ones you can easily spot Adam Sandler movie. That's My Boy, Jack and Jill, those are Adam Sandler movies.
I think the last one of those that I enjoyed was probably the comedy aspect. I don't even know if that would be one. Anger Management?
There was some funny stuff in there.
And then Anger Management and Longest Yard.
I will say, okay, yeah, Longest Yard. But Anger Management and Longest Yard.
They're not the Madison, I don't think.
They are.
Are they?
Yeah. Okay. If Alan Covert is in it, then it's a Happy Madison movie. But he wasn't really like the. He was in the. All the laughs weren't so much on his shoulders. He was almost a straight man in the movie.
For Anger Management?
Yeah. It was like Jack Nicholson and everybody else. And then in Longest Yard, he was kind of serious and calm, mm-hmm. and he let almost everybody else do a little bit. Whereas Jack and Jill, he's dressing up as a woman, and he's like, that's my boy. Oh, I'm Adam Sandler.
Yeah. Like, he's trying to do bits from, like, when he's on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
You know?
He's, like, doing that shit, like, 20-something years later. Like, Spanglish. That's not an Adam Sandler movie.
Yeah.
He's the star of it. He's in it. But that's not an Adam Sandler movie. Longest Yard might be the last thing he did. Click, I'll admit, I laughed a few times, but I don't even think I saw. Oh, I saw like the first 30 minutes of the mess with the Zohan at someone else's apartment, and I went to the other room. Like, what else is going on here? Because it was ugh.
It sounds like now he's trying to rely on the Grown Ups movies, like him and his friends.
The Grown Ups out there. Yeah. She meant like he's trying to make grown up movies. And I was like, did you see Jack and Jill or That's My Boy or something like that? And you know, Blended. Like, it's at this point when I see an Adam Sandler movie's coming out, I'm not even gonna bother. I've lost hope.
Yeah.
That he will turn it around. I think he'd rather retire than work hard and try and get back to like the Happy Gilmore, Wedding Singer, Big Daddy, the good movies that he used to do.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the Adam Sandler movie is like a Nick Cage movie or a Michael Bay movie. Yeah. It's like,
you know what you're gonna get.
Mm-hmm. Just those expressions. Now I will say that he's got a movie coming out this year called Pixels. I don't know much about it. I'm not sure if it's like one of his movies. I think it's a movie that he's starring in where aliens invade Earth, but for some reason they're all like 80s video game character aliens. So they pull
That's
him.
So specific.
Yeah, so they pull him. They pull Peter Dinklage from Game of Thrones, the little person who's great, and he can do comedy. And Josh Gad, who...
this looks stupid. I'm like looking at the pictures.
Oh, you're looking at it now?
Oh, God.
Well, I mean, just the premise. It's, you know, because it sounds like it's going to be like a love letter to people who play video games in the 80s kind of thing. It sounds like that episode of Futurama where the Tales of Interest where Fry wished he, you know, because the only thing I'm good at is video games, and then a bunch of 80s video games literally invaded, Space Invaders invaded New York, and Fry got to use his video game skills to defeat aliens.
Hey, they're ripping off Futurama.
It sounds like they took that little skit premise and expanded it into a whole movie. Chris Columbus, I think, is directing it. He did, you know, the Harry Potters and a bunch of stuff.
Hey, what a shot.
Back
Kevin James
day.
Is in the movie, too.
He is? Okay. Well, you know, I'm sure Adam Sandler won't agree to do anything without some say-so, some input. Until I see a trailer, I'm not going to automatically come out and say, that sounds dumb. It sounds
intriguing.
Well,
I was looking at some of these, like, screenshots of, I don't know if this is, like, promotional posters or anything, but it just looks...
Well,
there's a giant Pac-Man attacking this Golden Gate Bridge.
Because it doesn't sound like it's an Adam Sandler movie. It sounds like it's a movie that has Adam Sandler in it, and that's like the best thing you can say about the movie is Adam Sandler's people. Because that's the thing, he doesn't write or direct these shitty movies. He just stars them. He just has his friends write and direct them and all that.
He's just paid to.
To put his name above the title and star in it. And anyways. So, yeah, Adam Sandler, you're right. You said Adam Sandler, right? Okay. All right, I think it's finally time to really shake things up a bit.
No.
God. I want to explain. You know what? I'm just going to say it, and then I'll explain it as I go.
Okay.
And I hope you're sitting down, because I know I'm going to get a lot of hate for this. Christopher Nolan.
Oh, no. Here we go.
Yeah. Now...
The hell you say?
The hell I say? This also goes back to, does he have enough bad movies to counter his good ones? His earlier ones like Insomnia and Memento, and you know these were some interesting movies that he was doing back in the day. And then he got a hold of the Batman movies. I'm sure he did something else in between those two and getting Batman. But I'm not, we could make a whole podcast about me explaining how I'm not in love with this Batman universe he's created. Okay,
but we're not. So yeah,
I'm not. Okay, so I'm kind of lumping those. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying they're bad movies. I don't think he captured the spirit of Batman, but I'm not saying he did a bad job directing these. Prestige, I actually really enjoyed. I would argue, in my personal opinion, that Prestige is probably my favorite movie of his. I saw Inception in the theater. I have not had a desire to give that a second go. Since I'm not like complaining. It was confusing or it threw me. Yes, it was confusing, but it's the kind of movie you have to watch a second or third time to fully understand. I didn't find it interesting enough to give it a second and third going.
Okay, gotcha.
So there's that too. I didn't care for Inception, but this all boils down to Interstellar, which I think is an important movie because it's not just that it sucks. Interstellar sucks. He has gotten so out of control. His movies are so successful. He's so good at a director. People are now letting him do whatever he wants.
Mm-hmm.
He, nobody's giving him notes. Nobody's telling him. You know, that's kind of a stupid idea that love is what transcends time and space in Interstellar.
Spoiler alert.
Well, I mean, that's not a huge... But I mean, okay, yeah, spoiler. If you haven't seen Interstellar, I'm sorry. But there's really a scene in the movie where they're debating over whether... Like, we have enough fuel to get to this planet or that planet. Which one should we go to? And they're deciding, we should go to this one. Well, that's because you're in love with the scientist who went there. And Annie Hathaway, with a straight face, well, yes. Well, maybe love is something that is quantifiable, that transcends time and space. And I was like, really? This movie seemed like it was really rooted in science fiction. You know, they had astrophysicists consulting, all that kind of stuff. And then love is what saves the thing. And I'm not even going to spoil the ending, which is fucking ridiculous. Have you seen Interstellar?
No, I haven't seen it.
I don't want to spoil I think I could get you on my side if I explain this movie to you. It is ridiculous. And I think only fanboys who have blinders on, who mm-hmm. refuse to believe that Christopher Nolan can do any wrong, are the ones who continue to defend this movie. It is ridiculous. It is boring. It is stupid. And he has gotten so out of control. The fact that he got this movie made and nobody told him that this is dumb shows that he's going crazy. I read somewhere someone compared it. He's gone full Shyamalan.
Uh-oh. Oh, yeah. That's pretty bad.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. He used to be really good, and he's getting too out of control because it's like Michael Bay, kind of. I was saving this metaphor, you know. But they're both sort of in the same boat. They're so good now, and their movies are so successful that they're given such free... Nobody's reining them in and telling them...
The producers and studios are just saying...
Nobody's saying, ease back on this, or maybe you're going too far with this. Nobody's reining them in, and mm-hmm. they're now they're just going crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, Chris Nolan. But I would not have put him on this list if I didn't think he, at one point, was a very talented guy who made some really good movies. And I think still could.
So
I think maybe the success has gone to his head, and even he's believing his own hype.
So besides, Prestige, you said, what else did you like of this?
Memento.
Uh-huh.
Have you seen that one?
Yeah.
That was, like, unlike anything anybody has seen or done, even since then. Insomnia, it was like a dark Al Pacino, Robin Williams.
I haven't seen that one.
He made some interesting movies. And I'm not even saying he did a bad job with the Dark Knight movies. To me, that's not Batman. That universe he created was not the Batman universe I wanted to see. Again, maybe it's because I'm holding Batman precious and saying that's not right. Maybe I'm getting a little from that nerdy point of view. I'm not saying they weren't well done movies. Mm-hmm. Like, we were watching The Dark Knight the other day. It was on TV.
Yeah.
And every time, like, it was kind of in the background, but every time we'd walk past it, I'd stop and be like, okay, now why doesn't this happen?
Or you're tearing it apart pretty
bad. I was tearing it apart pretty bad. Yeah. Yeah. And people love that movie and hold it up so high. And it's like they have blinders on. They won't see the holes in that thing. Because they love Dark Knight so much. I'm amazed that Dark Knight gets such love. People hold it in such high regard. It's okay. Like anyway, all right. That's enough of my Christopher Nolan bashing there.
All right. Well, what else
I wanted to stir the pot. Do you have any more?
Yeah.
Cool. Look, I already talked about Johnny Depp. Here's one I think we both kind of agree on, so we can discuss this. Seth MacFarlane.
Yes.
I don't even know where to lump him in. As a director, as a writer, as an actor, what to say. If you say Seth MacFarlane was once good, it's because Family Guy was once good.
Yeah. I agree. Yeah, that's... And even then, he's riding those coattails as long as he can.
Even if we only talk about Family Guy, he falls within the category of this.
Yeah.
But that's not even talking about...
Well, I will tell you, if numbers matter as far as where to categorize him, he's on IMDb, he's credited for 10 directing jobs, 17 producer jobs, 25 writing jobs, and 48 actor jobs.
Well, that's all voice acting.
Yeah,
much.
Sure. Yeah.
Now, I haven't seen the Once Upon a Time, A Million Ways to Die in the West.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if that's funny or not. And that's his first, like, a starring leading man kind of a role. And that's another thing. This is a guy you could tell wants to be famous.
Oh, definitely.
Or at least wants to be in front of the camera.
Yeah.
You know?
He loves the spotlight.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, you know, he wants to be a singer, so, and he's gotten so big that he can do these passion projects and cram all that stuff down our throats, even if nobody really wants to see him crooning.
He's got the outlet for it, just like I have the outlet to make a free podcast.
Yeah.
So he's got the outlet to do that, so...
Okay, yeah, but, I mean, Ted had a few funny moments, but as a whole, yeah, I didn't love Ted. I haven't loved where Futurama's been going for the last... Not Futurama. Sorry. Family Guy.
I haven't watched a Family Guy episode in at least a few seasons, if not more. I don't know. It's just once they came back to Fox, it was all shock value. Like, he like really amped it up, and I think that's when his career, I mean, that's when his humor, I think, started.
Well, I don't even know how much say he has in where Family Guy is right now. It's like, I don't even know if it's fair to blame him about the quality of Family Guy right now, because I don't think he even like shows up to the lot to do anything. He shows up to record, but does he approve these scripts? It seems like he's so busy with everything else. It's like he's letting Family, like American Dad. I think American Dad's hilarious, but he doesn't have very much creative input on that.
Have you seen the new seasons of American Dad?
There's only been like six on TBS, but yeah, they're really good. They got a little bit of an edge.
Yeah,
I still think they're really funny.
Yeah. I haven't checked out the new season.
Cleveland Show. I started it when it first came out, and I watched like a handful, and I was like, all right, good, I can watch my, I don't want to watch this anymore. Yeah. And now that I gave it a chance, and then it got canceled. So yeah. I guess apparently nobody else liked it either. But his career is hard to judge, because you don't know how much he actively has to do with where Family Guy is anymore. Because, I mean, when he's writing, like, he's Ted 2 and Once Upon a Time in the West, when does he have time to be writing Family Guy anymore? If you look at the opening credits of every episode, you never see his name other than executive producer.
That's true.
You never see him credited as a writer or anything like that. So I don't know. But yeah, I'm not going to waste a lot of time, you know, researching it. Which was the last good episode he wrote? Which was the last thing he did here?
I couldn't tell you. I know we just recently saw the trailer for Ted 2, and God, that's another sequel that seems forced. It's like, it was enough to make Ted.
It made some money. Let's make more money.
Exactly. Yeah. That's all it is. Yeah.
It's the cash. Okay. All right. I'm going to go with another one. This one just hit me right before we started recording. Uh-oh. It was an idea I had. And it kind of falls under every category. This is a director who made some really great movies back in the day, and then he made some movies, and I haven't even heard of the movies he's doing now. Rob Reiner.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Princess Bride, Stand By Me, Spinal Tap, When Harry Met Sally, those four classics trump almost any director's resume. And then he started, you know, he did like North and The Story of Us, and I didn't see American President. Oh, you know what, to be honest, I've never seen Misery. I'm sure it's good. I'm sure it's a classic. I've never seen that one. Few Good Men was pretty good too. But then, you know, then in the 90s and early 2000s, rumor has it, that one with the, it was like a unofficial sequel to The Graduate or something like that with Jennifer Aniston. And then The Bucket List, which, you know, looked weird.
I've never heard of Rumor Has It. Bucket List, I don't know. I kind of wanted to check that out, but at the same time, I thought it would be kind of depressing. Two old guys.
Yeah.
You know, about.
And you know one of them is probably going to die.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But, and again, it's not so much that I'm saying his current movies suck, because I haven't seen a lot of what he's been doing lately.
It's like he's gearing for like an older audience.
Yeah, but those four movies that he did in the 80s are four of my favorite movies of all time.
Yeah.
And, you know, and he still acts. He was in The Wolf of Wall Street. He played Leonardo's dad. He was good in that. He's still an actor, and I still love Rob Reiner. If I was to ever meet him, I would gush and say I'm a huge fan of yours. Oh my God, you know, he's great. He was great in All the Family. He's meathead.
I don't think this is a case of him like on a decline or anything, but I think what I was just saying just a second ago is like his vision, like his projects are geared toward a different audience than what you are watching.
Probably, yeah.
Does that make sense?
It's like, I guess so. Yeah.
Like,
I
mean, these movies, like you just said, they might be good, but you haven't
seen
them.
But even then, like Spinal Tap came out in 1984.
Yeah.
And I love that movie. And right. Clearly that wasn't aimed for me at the time, but it holds up. That movie holds up like crazy. Have you ever seen Spinal Tap?
Yeah.
I mean, if you hadn't, I'd say let's watch it, and I guarantee you'd probably crack up, laugh your ass off at that movie. It holds up like you wouldn't believe. Stand By Me, that's a classic. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. Especially because it's set in the 50s.
Yeah.
You could still make that movie today.
Yeah.
And it would still hold up. That movie could be released today, right now, and I guarantee you would do good. Princess Bride. Oh my God, I don't need to tell you what a great movie that
right.
is. And When Harry Met Sally, yeah, I think that's a great movie. It's probably one of the best romantic comedies of all time. It started a whole trend of romantic comedies.
That is true, right? Yeah, I think it would be
set Meg Ryan off on a. You know, we can even talk about her. When was the last time she did anything good? But she was the It Girl. She was America's Sweetheart back in the day. You know, she started doing, you know, Sleepless in Seattle and You've Got Mail. Not that You've Got Mail is any good. Joe versus the Volcano, and she just did nothing but romantic comedy after romantic comedy. And she made a lot of money doing that, and then she kind of disappeared. She tried to shake her good girl image within The Cut, which I haven't seen, but, and then she got all that crazy Botox, and now you can't even recognize her.
Yeah, that's pretty.
But yeah, Rob Reiner, I don't expect him to get back to form. Like a Michael Bay or something, I say, or a Christopher Nolan, I think they could, or a John Favreau, I think they could turn it around and get back to where they are. Rob Reiner, I don't see him turning it around anymore.
He doesn't need to.
Yeah. But yeah, like I said, I do have nothing but love for that guy, and I would gush if I ever got to see him in person and be like, "Oh my God, you're great." Michael Bay, I kick him. You suck now. I don't feel like I owe him anything, yeah. But this guy is a big part of my childhood, and I feel like I owe him. Anyways, yeah, fucking Stand By Me. That movie is crazy. Now, Stand By Me has a little bitty role by a great actor I used to love, who was really great. Stand By Me was part of it. A little actor named John Cusack.
Yes.
Now, I love, again, if I met John Cusack, oh my God, you're awesome, John Cusack. You've been in some of my favorite movies of all time.
And knowing you, which you putting him on this list, I know that's got to hurt your feelings.
Yeah, you know, yeah, there's a couple more that are going to hurt to talk about, or at least one in particular that I'm saving that is really going to hurt to talk about. And I love John Cusack, and he's made some great movies. Gross Point Blank in 96, 97. Is one of my favorite movies of all time, and he's great in it. But when was the last time you liked John Cusack in a movie? 2012. I mean, just the fact it's disaster porn. We're still having disaster porn movies coming out. The Rock has got a San Andreas, something like that. It's just an excuse to have things crashing and destroyed, and it's a tragedy. You know, I'm looking at some of the stuff John Cusack has done lately, and a lot of it I don't even recognize. Okay, Hot Tub Time Machine was hilarious.
Yep,
he was really funny in that. You know, War Inc. was a big. I saw that and I was like, what was that? Must Love Dogs.
I really wanted to like The Raven because I thought he would make a good
playing Poe.
Yeah, I thought that would like fit him perfectly.
He got into a romantic comedy thing like a shitty romantic, like he did Must Love Dogs, he did America's Sweetheart, he did Serendipity, and it was like, wow, really? You're going, you know.
God, he was in a movie with Nicolas Cage in 2013, The Frozen Ground? Wow.
I was going to say, you mean Con Air?
Is that what that is?
No.
Oh.
But they were in Con Air together. Well, but yeah, you know what's funny? He hates Con Air. doesn't like to talk about Con Air. He's like ashamed of that movie. And I'm like, dude, I loved Con Air, and you were great in Con Air. What do you got against it in the late 90s, too?
Like, did he defend himself on that, or he just said it, or...
I've heard other reviewers mention that he hates it. I've actually never actually seen him say he hates it, but that's what I'm saying.
I'm hoping that's not true, because that would be weird, like, if he wouldn't... Unless it was, like, a bad experience.
Like Tim Curry doesn't like to talk about Rocky Horror. Yeah. He doesn't like to talk about that. Don't, you know, it's like a given. Don't ask him about that movie. Don't ask John Cusack about Con Air. I don't know. But, I mean, in the 90s, he was still making really good movies. Being John Malkovich, that movie, movie blew my mind. Like I said. But I remember the last thing I saw him in. He did this movie. It was called, like, Drive Hard or something like that with Thomas Jane where they had no chemistry together, and it was just dumb and... I don't know. I just haven't liked... Not since Hot Tub Time Machine, but then that was like a blip.
The most current movie I've seen him in was The Factory, and that was only because it was on Netflix.
It was in my queue for a long time. It has the chick from Dexter in it. Yeah. It was in my queue, but again, I couldn't bring myself to put it on because I had a feeling I'm probably not going to like this movie.
It's not bad, really.
The Ice Harvest. I think Harold Ramis... is that the one that Harold Ramis did? I, again, was hopeful about that, and that was surprisingly... not very good either. John Cusack, he just hasn't done anything. Like, I'm not coming down too hard on him, but he kind of just falls in the category. He made a lot of good shit, and he's still working.
You gotta call him out on it.
I gotta call him out. Yeah, that's a little bit of tough love.
He's dangerously close to Nicolas Cage territory, and we don't want to see him.
We don't want to see him. Nobody wants to see anybody journeying into Nicolas Cage territory. It's funny what you were saying about how, like, this is painful for me to call out John Cusack.
Right, right.
Because I got one more on my list that I want to talk about, and this one is probably the most painful. I've been debating over even bringing it up.
So do I know which one you're going to mention?
You do.
Okay.
I don't know if you'll agree with me or not. You might. You probably do. But it's I got a lot of love for this guy when I was young. He almost made me want to become a filmmaker. And
ooh, this is who I think it is?
Robert Rodriguez.
Wow, okay, that is... Yeah.
Oh, God. This dude, I love this guy. I think he's so creative and such a talented guy. He's a writer. He's a director. He composes the music for his movies. He's an animator. He does everything. So talented. Such a good guy. But what the hell happened to him? You know?
Yeah.
The last thing that I saw of his was Sin City. And to be honest, that wasn't really that bad, but it did
not... You're talking about the sequel, right?
Of course. Yeah, the Sin City, A Dame to Kill For, came out last year. And it was like, the first one came out in like, it was like 10 years later.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that made Sin City so cool was that it was groundbreaking sort of visual style. Nobody had ever seen it before. It was like, wow, this is a really cool thing.
Right.
And then, you know, The Spirit came out, and then 300 kind of copied that style a little bit. And that's like, okay, we've seen it. There's no novelty about A Dame to Kill For anymore. There's nothing that we haven't seen. It was like, why didn't you do this a long time ago? And we were discussing what you said about George Lucas. He's a father now, and that affects the way he makes movies. And I think Robert is another big, I won't say victim of that, of that issue, but clearly, the guy's, you know, he's got like 5 kids.
Yeah,
he comes from a big family. He's like 1 of 10. He's got a lot of kids. He wants to make movies that his kids enjoy. Hence, he started doing those Spy Kids movies.
Right, right, right.
And those aren't even that bad, to be honest. I kind of even liked this. The first 2 Spy Kids movies, I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. He's making a couple movies for his kids. But then he made a movie specifically for his kids, The Shark Boy and Lava Girl. His kids were the ones who came up with the idea. And he took his kids' drawings and his kids' idea, whatever, and made it into a movie. And I actually sat through that because I love Robert. And I was like, that was just...
For your love of the director.
Sat through The Adventures of Shark Boy and Lava Girl.
Is this in theater?
No. Okay. I saw it in... the Machete movies, they're kind of fun. You know, there's a little bit of fun to be had there, but they're not that good. They're not as good as, like, Desperado or Sin City or as of his early movies.
Here's my issue with Robert Rodriguez is it seems like him and Quentin got together, and they made The Grindhouse, and...
I did like Planet Terror, though.
I did, too. I love it. It's a good movie for me. Mm-hmm. But it seems like he just gravitated towards the Grindhouse style. And, like, that's...
You mean all his movies since then?
Yeah. Oh. It's like Machete and Machete
Kills. Well, Machete was a trailer.
Right.
And it was so... Machete is supposed to be a grindhouse movie.
Right. I don't know. I just kind of gravitate all those together. And it's just like, anytime I... Not to go off topic here, but he like... I don't want to say brought back the grindhouse style, but I mean like... He's got his own channel, the El Rey Network.
Yeah, and which I don't have.
Like
it.
Like that grindhouse vibe, like the voice actor or the voiceover guy that does all the grindhouse, his voice, that you know,
boy, yeah,
he does all the voice. Like he's like the narrator on the commercials.
Okay, is that bad? I mean, do you not like grindhouse type style of movies?
I do in moderation, but if it's like all you got, I mean, I don't...
Wait, it's not because he'll stop what he's doing to make kids films every once in a while.
Okay, so you got it's like two polar opposites. You got grindhouse.
And then you got like four Spy Kids and Lava Girl and that movie called Shorts, which I didn't even see that one because it looked, I'm like, ugh, I'm done.
So by that time Shorts already came out, you were already done with them. That's what it sounds like.
I'm not saying I'm done with them because I said, I was kind of excited about Sin City 2. I was like, finally, I thought he's getting back to, I thought Planet Terror was like, yes, he's getting back to his old style, his old roots, you know, things like that. I didn't hate Sin City 2, but it was like, okay. It was nothing in there that you didn't already show me 10 years ago.
Okay.
Kind of a thing.
So besides the gimmick
aside, and then you focus a lot more on Jessica Alba, which I don't care for Jessica Alba.
Well, he did, or?
Well, the movie, you know, she had a small part in the first Sin City, and she's like the focus of a whole part of this movie. But yeah, but I'm saying, I think Robert could very easily churn out a really cool movie. But like you said, maybe...
And what was the deal with Red Sonja? Like Rose McGowan, like he wanted like Rose McGowan to be Red Sonja.
He was dating her at the time.
And that was going to be a thing. And
I think that became Conan the Barbarian. Or not the Conan Barbarian, but the remake.
Because
she's in that now. Or she was in that as a
little side character. She was,
I'm thinking that sort of got turned into that movie. Yeah. And because I thought the idea of him making a Red Sonja movie, that sounded neat. And
he was attached to Predators. And that wasn't really...
He produced Predators, and I think he wrote it, or it was based on his concept story. And I thought it was a neat story, and I do enjoy Predators. I thought it paid a lot of... It stayed true to the original McTiernan Predator, the vibe.
Yeah, that movie gets a lot of hate.
I don't know why. I remember when I saw it in the theaters, and as soon as it starts playing the credits, they start playing Long Tall Sally.
Yeah.
And I heard people like, what the hell is that music for? And I'm like,
Really?
Yeah, they didn't get it. And that's what I think it is. I think a lot of people, they didn't get it.
I think one thing that kind of pissed me off about that movie, nothing really to do with the movie, but marketing side of things, I saw the trailer for it in the theater, and I was like, oh, great, you know, Predator movie. And then there's one shot that they did where the guy, like, turns around, and he's got the three little
kids,
and then they're like, a whole bunch of them.
It seem like there's 20 Predators with lasers on him. That was filmed.
Damn near wet myself when I saw that. And then the movie comes out, and it's just... This one
that was made just for the trailer, and it's a fucking lie.
Yeah,
they fucking lied to us. Yeah,
that is false.
I like to tell myself that Robert had nothing to do with that.
Yeah.
It was the marketing department or something. The studio said that. I don't think he would blatantly film something.
It's like studios.
Yeah, it was studios. So, but back in the day, man, you know, El Mariachi. I think Desperado was the first thing I ever saw of his. And then because of Desperado, I looked up Mariachi and Road Racers, and they were a lot of fun. And Four Rooms, his is my favorite segment of the movie Four Rooms, which is hilarious. And then Faculty, that was kind of him being the studio says, hey, we have a script here. Because it's the only movie he's done that he didn't, like, write was The Faculty.
Hmm.
Kevin Williamson wrote it, and he was an up-and-comer, and he had, like, a contract.
And look at him now.
With Columbia, And then they're like, we have a movie here, you do it. And even though the plot behind Faculty is kind of derivative and silly, the directing, I think he did a good job with that project.
That movie keeps my attention throughout the whole... I don't know if it's him directing or what, but...
I mean, I do enjoy The Faculty.
Like, if that movie comes... Yeah. If I'm flipping through the channels and I see it, I'm probably going to watch it.
Yeah, and I think he's a good director. I think he's a good guy. I remember I was... somebody was talking about Spy Kids 3 or something.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a shitload of actors in that. George Clooney and Steve Buscemi and Antonio Man, all these people. And somebody was asking, like, how does this guy get all these actors? And I was like, well, almost everybody in that movie has worked with him before.
Yeah.
George Clooney was, you know, with him and all this kind of stuff. And I think it's the fact that they keep coming back to work with him, even in a stupid movie like Spy Kids 3D, they're still, oh, Robert, you need me to come in and work for a day? Plus, he's really fast and efficient.
Hmm.
They probably came in, worked for 2 hours, and then went home. Because George Clooney even has a cameo in Spy Kids 3. And he's way too big to be right, blocking this stuff. But he's like, oh, yeah, no problem. I'll come out and I'll do this little film for you. Sure. Because he's probably a good guy. And, yeah, I want to see...
Now, see, something. it's kind of weird because, you know, you're the one that turned me on to Robert's work. I first watched Desperado first. You got me to watch that. This is back when we were in high school.
That holds up. Yeah. I watched that last week. Just randomly. I just decided, you know what? I want to watch Desperado. It's been a while.
I never seen Road Racers, though.
It's okay. It's like his first time working with Sama.
But, yeah, Desperado is good. And then I went back and watched the El Mariachi. And then Once Upon a Time in Mexico, which...
I don't hate that one.
Yeah, it's
okay. You know what? Okay, if Once Upon a Time in Mexico came out today, I'd say I'd lump it in with all of his crappy work. But it's kind of like Armageddon, where you were still at the time giving him the benefit of the doubt. But you see where he's going with it. He starts to rely too much on CGI bullet squibs. He loves that stuff. Bullet CGI fake squibs, which I hate. The Expendables movie really uses a lot of CGI bullet blood squibs, and it looks really fake. It looks really bad. I like the old school Paul Verhoeven bullet, you know, underneath the clothes that blow up in blood. That's what I want. And he's relying too much on visuals, and he's getting a little lazy.
Yeah.
And I think he hasn't done the good old R stuff like he has in a while. I think Planet Terror was the last thing he did, and who knows? Maybe working next to Quentin, he was trying to keep up. Because Quentin's still very hard R.
Yeah.
So maybe he was trying to keep up with Quentin because they were working like back to back there. But I don't know.
For whatever reason, I always like that little team up. Him and Quentin always kind of working together.
Yeah,
I don't know.
They've been friends since. I think he said they met on the Telluride Film Festival when he was doing his mariachi tour and Quentin was doing his Reservoirs, and then it was like kindred spirits. They just like got along. And Quentin's like, hey, I wrote a script about vampires in Mexico. You know, you should say. And then they made From Dusk Till Dawn, which is an awesome movie. I haven't really seen the TV show. I saw the first episode.
I saw the first episode, too.
You didn't watch anymore? And I didn't watch anymore either.
It's like, okay, I get it.
And again, and I don't know how much he's actively involved in the creative process of that, either.
Yeah.
I mean, he produces it and stuff.
He directed the first episode.
He did?
Yeah.
Hmm.
I think he did. Pretty sure. But, it's just basically a retelling of the movie in a series format.
The whole first episode is basically the liquor store shootout.
Yeah.
Kind of, which is like the first 5 minutes of the movie.
Yeah.
Just really dragged out.
Like, I don't care about the cop that got, you know, that was in the movie. I don't want to know about his personal life. I don't.
So. Yeah, he's got a wife at home and some shit. Who cares?
Right, exactly.
But yeah, Robert, whom I love, and I do have hope for him, and this is another tough love. This is not like
you want him to get back on track.
Yeah. Oh, I would never say any of this to his face ever, because I'd be like waiting and going. I'd be like, we're not worthy if I was to ever see him. Yeah, I love me some Robert Rodriguez, but damn it, I want to see the stuff he used to do in the 90s and stuff like that.
So you want to see him do a comeback?
I want a comeback. I want to see Robert Rodriguez return to form. But I think he can. But
I mean, there's been some
like
others.
You said, he's getting older, and now he's got all these kids running around, and maybe his mind just isn't as dark as it used to be.
Maybe, yeah.
You know, and that's what we were saying, like with Luke, you know, what it changes you, I guess, becoming a parent, and, you know, it changes you artistically and how you see the world and how your creative head works. Who knows? Maybe he'll start milking more. Maybe he'll make Spy Kids 5.
Well, I mean,
Have you seen any of these Spy Kids movies?
No, not really.
None of them?
No.
Wow. The first one wasn't, again, at the time, I was like, oh, cool, he's going to try a family film for once and then get back to killing people. Okay, that was funny. It was filmed in San Antonio. So there's little things like that. Enjoy. Same thing with the second one. And the third one got a little stupid.
Yeah.
And the fourth one is just out there. It's really made, like, just for kids. And it's really? Silly. And
I just never had any reason to watch it. I'm like, Spy Kids, like, it's in the name. It's like, ugh.
God. You're more of an Agent Cody Banks kind of a guy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Exactly, yeah. The world is divided into two kinds of people. Yeah. All right, well, I don't know. That's I hardly have the energy to take down anybody else after Robert.
All right, so let's turn this around. I mean, we said that, you know what, you want him to have a comeback, but there's been some success stories. People have been able to rebound and come back and have a resurgence of their career.
Yeah.
You know, there's been a few.
We're living in the reconnaissance. right now. Yeah, I didn't coin that. That's that phrase is being thrown around a lot. But yeah, Matthew McConaughey, he was really good in the 90s, Time to Kill, and he did some good stuff. And then he just did like straight romantic comedy after another, every other one starring Kate Hudson pretty much.
Yeah.
And yeah. And then he did, like Mud, and then Wolf of Wall Street, obviously Dallas Buyers Club. Mm-hmm. Now he's, I'm not saying, again, you know how I feel about Interstellar, but it's not the crap he used to be doing.
Yeah,
and now he's back.
And even then, Interstellar, I mean, I guess that'd be subjective, too.
Mm-hmm.
But because it made money, you know?
Yeah.
One thing I was thinking of was Ben Affleck.
Totally. Totally. He only has... his acting career has been... But it was his directing that managed to give his acting career a new life.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, and there's another guy who...
Because he started off with Kevin Smith, we mentioned him earlier, you know?
He kind of started off there, and, yeah. And others... Oh, he was also, along with Matthew McConaughey, Dazed and Confused.
He was the bomb in The Phantoms.
He was, yeah. He was, the, he was the bomb in The Phantoms. Yeah. I'm trying to think what else he did in the 90s. Armageddon. Wow, everything's coming full circle. All these guys are kind of connected. Well, like him and... Okay, well, Good Will Hunting. He won the Oscar for that.
Right.
And that made him like a household name. And then it was funny, at the time I was kind of following both of their careers at the same time, and it seemed like Matt was taking more serious stuff. He was doing like Talented Mr. Ripley and Rounders and Saving Private Ryan, while Ben Affleck is doing like Forces of Nature and what I just said, Armageddon. And mm-hmm. he was trying to really milk it, trying to become a kid. He started dating J-Lo. He became the first Bennifer. We owe him for these celebrity couple names. I think
that right there should have been the end of his career.
We wouldn't have a Brangelina or a Tomcat or any of that shit without him. And we've even got Bennifer 2 is what they say for him and Jennifer Garner. And it seemed like he just cared about making money and being a movie star or being the tabloid. Yeah. And then he started really falling with Jersey Girl and Geely and all that kind of stuff. And I think he said, I need to reinvigorate this.
Yeah.
I think he did a movie called Hollywoodland where he played George Reeves, the original Superman.
Right, yeah.
And everybody was like, whoa, that's like something different. That's like a good movie
You think that's the turnaround of that? Like the start, like maybe the spark that changed?
Well, I'd have to like really look at his whole resume and spark it. But I remember when I started hearing he was good in it, I remember pricking my ears like, oh, really? Ben Affleck's doing something good. That's good to know. Because he does seem like a cool guy.
Yeah.
I don't hate him. I've seen him, you know, do interviews and stuff. He seems like a cool dude. And then after that, I don't know if it was right after that, but his directing career with Gone Baby Gone, he put his brother starring in it. It was set in Boston. It was based on a series of novels, a Dennis Lehane novel, whose books have since been adapted into a lot of successful films like Mystic River and stuff. And everybody was so shocked, like, holy shit, that was a really well-directed movie. And I think I saw The Town first. And I saw that in the theaters, and I was like, wow, this is like Heat, but not boring. I'm going to say right now, Heat's a great movie, but you got to trim at least 30 minutes from that movie. Cut the whole Natalie Portman plot. Cut the guy who's killing all the prostitutes plot, which has nothing to do with the rest of the movie. The Heat was pretty long, but it was a much tighter film. The pacing is great. You owe it all to Ben Affleck. He paced this really well. It's a tight film, even though it's pretty long. It doesn't feel long.
Mm-hmm.
The action sequences are done really well. And then he goes and he does Argo after that.
Yeah.
And he gets snubbed. It wins Best Picture, and he doesn't even get nominated for Best Director.
Yeah.
That was I haven't seen The Town that upset since like Martin Scorsese got passed over for Raging Bull. But and now Ben Affleck's up on top again. Now he's fucking Batman.
It's true. Yeah.
Yeah. Like they wouldn't have given that if they didn't think that his acting path was back on track again either. Because he's good in The Town and he's good in Argo.
Yeah, you know what? I still haven't seen Gone Baby Gone. But,
you definitely should. It is a really good movie.
What was that movie with who was in it?
Gone Girl.
No, before that.
Oh, did you see Gone Girl?
Yeah.
They say he was great in that. I think he was. I think he was okay in it.
Oh, he was just in Runner. I saw that one.
Oh yeah. You know what? I didn't really love that movie.
Yeah.
I don't blame that on him though.
When I watched that movie. That was after like he was already announced as Batman, and I was like starting to look at how he could do, just to see if he's, you know, just his performances in general. And I like his performance in it, but the movies, I kind of
the movie didn't really grab me. But I thought he did fine.
And then Gone Girl, I just saw Gone Girl a few weeks ago,
and I was surprised he was an Extract. And I don't think it's not a bad. I don't like Extract as much as I like Office Space or even Idiocracy. But Ben Affleck was kind of like the best thing in it almost. It looked like he was having fun. Mm-hmm. It was refreshing to see him try a little something different, to try a bit part. Yeah. You know, because he was just a tiny role in that. But yeah, in the late 90s and 2000s, he was doing paycheck stuff. Paycheck stuff? Like the movie Paycheck. He's in a movie called Paycheck. I mean, come on. Daredevil.
I know, we didn't talk about Daredevil, yeah. But I mean, that's...
I mean, at the time, I don't blame him for taking it. Superhero movies were starting to take off, and this was he wanted to get in on it. Now it seems like everybody wants to get in on it.
And you know what? And I've gone on record before. For Daredevil, I don't have any issues with Ben Affleck as Daredevil.
Just with his haircut.
No, oh,
yeah. I thought his haircut was a little silly, but yeah, Ben Affleck as Daredevil, I thought he was fine.
Yeah, I think that was just issues with the movie itself, the writing and directing.
You know who else is in Daredevil? Kevin Smith. Again, yeah. It's all coming around full circle here. But Ben Affleck, I'm glad his career is back on track.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
Just because I don't know about you, but for me, it was just like, when I was in high school, he's doing like Mallrats and all that other stuff. And mm-hmm. I was like, I've kind of like, I don't want to say I've grown up with him, but I mean, it's like, I've seen his career kind of.
Pearl Harbor. That was another one that was like, again, working with Michael Bay after some money. That movie was just trying to be Titanic. But it was trying to be Titanic, basically. Let's make a big historical, you know, based on a historic tragedy, but really it's just a love story set under the backdrop of a tragedy of American history. That's kind of what Pearl Harbor was trying to be.
Yeah.
And Jimmy started on Pearl Harbor. We never even talked about that when we talked about Michael Bay. We kind of just skipped over that one, didn't we?
Yeah, a little bit.
I think we did.
Trying to block it out of your memory.
Anyways, who else? I think I remember when, in 2002, he was trying to reboot the Jack Ryan franchise. He did a movie called Sum of All Fears. And I think right around the same time, Matt Damon had just come out with Private Ryan. No, I'm sorry. Matt Damon had come out with Bourne Identity. It's like they were both playing spy-type characters, and Matt Damon's clearly was better. And nobody even remembers Sum of All Fears, and now we just had a new Bourne movie a couple years ago. I don't know. Yeah, you track both of their careers. His is like a big zigzaggy line. Matt Damon is kind of always up there. But Ben,
I think Matt Damon has always been steady.
I would even argue that now Ben Affleck's star is even surpassing Matt Damon's right now.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Because Matt Damon...
There was a time when Damon was on top, yeah.
Yeah. I wouldn't say his career... His slump is so far that he warrants being included on this list.
I don't think so.
But it has been... Probably Bourne Ultimatum was the last good thing I can remember that I've seen Matt Damon good in.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't see We Have a Zoo or We Bought a Zoo. And like I said, Monuments Men, that was a disappointment. But who else?
There was someone that you wanted to mention.
Okay, someone else who I think... the idea of a comeback like this, one of the first things that came to mind was John Travolta. But this is a unique case. John Travolta, he was huge in the 80s with Grease and Saturday Night Fever and all that. And, you know, Welcome Back, Cotter and Carrie. And he was a heartthrob and all that shit. And then later on, his career started slumping. He started doing, like, Look Who's Talking This Time, whatever, that part five, whatever, I don't know. And he wasn't doing very good for a while. And then Pulp Fiction came out, and it's like, whoa. And then we had a big, I was about to say reconnaissance. I was trying to turn Travolta resurgence. And then he had Get Shorty, he had Broken Arrow, he was in that movie Michael. All of a sudden, he was everywhere in the 90s. Yeah. And those are all pretty good
and
movies.
And good movies, yeah.
Yeah. I never saw Michael, but I liked the hell out of Get Shorty and Broken Arrow.
Right before you said Michael, I was like, yeah.
And Face Off. Yeah. And he was really big in the 90s. And then he started, you know, getting some clout again, and he used that clout to make a passion project called Battlefield Earth. You know, based on a novel by L. Ron Hubbard, the founder of Scientology, of which he is one of the most famous members.
Scientology.
And it was great. I love Battlefield Earth. You know I love this movie. It's terrible. But it's terrible on every single level. It comes all the way down to being bad, but it's so bad. It comes back around to that it's a so bad it's good movie.
Yeah.
It is like the best so bad it's good movie. But yeah, it killed his it did kill his career, but
it didn't do him favors.
It didn't do him any favors. Yeah. He put up a lot of his own money in there. Not as much as you would think, because he had a deal that he would get a lot of it back if it broke, like, so many millions, which it didn't. So, and then, what? Okay, in the 2000s, what was he doing? Because now his star is kind of falling back down again. You know, from Paris with Love, which I saw, which was kind of dumb. And then he did this movie. I can't think of what it's called. He plays like a Russian, and he tricks. Is it De Niro? It's like a man hunting another man in the woods kind of a movie.
And I'm not sure what movie you're talking about.
And he plays a Russian or a Czechoslovak or some kind of Western Eastern Europe kind of a guy, and he does it a terrible accent. Like who told him it was a good idea to try to do that kind of an accent in a movie? God, what else is he doing? Like, Taking Impella 1-2-3. I saw some of that. I hear he wasn't great in it. You know, plus as his star started getting bigger, his personal life started coming under more scrutiny. All the Scientology rumors, the rumors that he's actually gay, and you know, people are, you know, they don't want to like him because they're learning more and more
about
him.
Killing Season.
Yeah, I actually did sit through that one, and it's not very good. It's just silly seeing him try and do that accent. Savages, that was a boring movie, but he was okay in it.
And I watched Savages. I don't remember what did he do in Savages.
He was like a federal agent, a dirty federal agent.
Oh, he was like, okay. Okay.
And he did some comedies like Hairspray and Wild Dogs, and I think that had like a, I don't know if it's a sequel or if it's, because it was called Old Dogs, which I didn't see. I did see Wild Hogs.
Yeah, I always kind of assumed that was like an unofficial sequel.
Because it sounds the same.
Yeah. And like similar cast members, right?
Yeah. And then around 2000, I think maybe that's like, did you like Swordfish or Basic or Punisher?
I like Swordfish.
You like Swordfish?
Yeah. I don't know why, but I do.
That little bitty...
Peach Fuzz, I don't know.
Is that, yeah, well, it's like it went under your bottom lip.
Right.
That little triangle of hair that he has and that stupid haircut in general. And it was, I don't know, I did not like Swordfish.
I don't know, that's a guilty pleasure.
And you know how I hate Halle Berry.
Yeah.
I think she's terrible, and yeah, she ruined it. I thought he was okay in Basic.
Trying to think what that one was.
It's like a conspiracy kind of a movie in the army, and you know, like the whole movie is told in flashbacks about what went down. He shot first. He did it. I think John McTiernan actually directed that movie. Basically. And there's a guy I would love to see make a comeback. I think John McTiernan is finally out of jail, and he's finally allowed to do.
You're right.
To do work again.
He did.
I would love. Now there's a guy I would love to see make a comeback. His slump is because, you know, he was in jail. What do you want? But John McTiernan.
What was he in jail for? You know,
I don't want to say because I'm not sure. I'm like so not even sure. I don't want someone to be like, that's not why he was in jail and call me out.
Did you like him in Punisher?
Did I like John Travolta in Punisher?
Yeah.
He was okay, I guess. I mean, I don't like that movie.
Yeah.
To begin with.
I think the only thing I liked about the movie was Thomas Jane's Punisher. I didn't really care too much for his character. He was just kind of there. He wasn't like...
That wasn't... Okay, Punisher just shoots you. He kicks your door down and kills you. He doesn't sneak in your home and steal your wife's earrings and plant them on the couch. And he doesn't put fake parts... And he has, you know, all that little stuff. He doesn't hide with the big sports lens in the trees taking pictures of you so he can blackmail... that's not Punisher. Punisher just kills you.
Right.
Punisher Warzone, that movie's a mess, but at least that was more about... That opening scene where he kills all the mob people and the mob guy's wives.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that's what the Punisher does. But, yeah, John Travolta's... and it's funny, we mentioned how Pulp Fiction is what turned his career around. That kind of also did the same thing for Bruce Willis.
Yeah, true.
He was in a slump. He was in the very same slump with Look Who's Talking and Last Man Standing, which, you know, and the Color of Night and Striking Distance and the Kid, and that might be after it. I'm not sure, but he wasn't doing anything good for a while there.
But he was around in the '80s, Moonlighting and everything.
In the early
Die Hard,
Die Hard, Last Boy Scout. He made a couple good movies, and then he was a little bit of a slump. He wasn't that low,
right?
But that helped get him Die Hard 3. And other stuff, and he's kind of been, well, he's still doing action movies to this day.
Yeah.
But that kind of helped boost Bruce Willis's career just the same way it did with John Travolta's.
I was thinking about something earlier before we started recording. And I don't know if you agree with this or not, but since we're talking about action movies and whatnot, but what about The Rock? Because for me,
The Rock, Dwayne Johnson. I thought for some reason I thought when you said action movies, you said The Rock. I thought you meant Michael Bay's The Rock. I was like, yeah, it's an awesome movie. Comeback? When was he that low?
and this is, again, subjective, but I'm thinking, like, during his Disney phase, like Tooth Fairy, and there was...
Oh. You didn't like Race to Witch Mountain? You didn't like Journey to the Center of the Earth 2?
Yeah,
you didn't like the game plan?
Yeah, you're agreeing with me without even knowing it. So, yeah.
Well, to be honest, I didn't even really see too many of those movies to say they suck. And it seems like every action star tries to do a cute movie. You know, Arnold did Kindergarten Cop. He does the game plan. You know, it's kind of a thing.
Yeah, I know, but it just seems like, where was he going at that time? I mean, it was like just going nowhere, and then. He got out of the Disney deal, and now he's like...
Was that all part of a deal? Like, yeah. He was contracted to make those movies?
Yeah.
Well, there you go. He probably just signed it because he saw dollar signs, and he was, you're guaranteed this movie, and then you'll make this much, and you'll make this much. He's like, okay.
Well, it still doesn't mean you didn't make them.
Yeah. Well, okay, so you think that The Rock right now has returned to... Well, I would say return to form. When was he ever... I mean, it's not like he started as a good action hero, then slumped, and now he's back.
I don't know. I'd say, for all intents and purposes, The Scorpion King, and then The Rundown.
The Scorpion King, really? He was in that for like 5 minutes, and then he was a CGI mess.
No, that was Mummy Returns.
Oh yeah, that's right. I'm sorry. Wait. Okay. So you like The Scorpion King?
I'm not gonna say I like it, but I'm just gonna say that was
like a sci-fi movie level quality of like that's like a B movie that got theatrical release.
Like, have you seen? There's actually a fourth one now.
Isn't he like a kid again or something?
I have no fucking idea. But it, like the box art looks like a parody. Like the box art for this movie looks like one of the like the knockoff like making fun of the movies.
Because I thought the third one it goes back to when he's like a young man, so I assume the fourth one is like keeping with that.
I have no idea. But anyway, that was one idea that I was thinking of where maybe not bad movies, but just like a different...
Well, I thought he was good in The Rundown. And when you go back and watch Walking Tall, you can see how far he's come as an actor. His acting is not that good in that movie. Yeah. But he's a wrestler. He's not an actor. I never saw Doom. Then Be Cool came out. And that was actually... I knew Rock was a wrestler, but he had done nothing that impressive. Be Cool was like, wow, he was funny in that. It was refreshing. And plus, it was a different take. He was trying to be a big gay guy, which was funny. And the book is actually written. He is a Samoan character, so I guess the producer's like, "Well, how many Samoan actors do we have right now?" Well, there's the Rock. I didn't see Green Iron Gang or any, like you said, that Disney phase. He was also really good in Get Smart. He was actually
funny in that
one, and he was cool. Yeah. I guess you could say he's coming back. Snitch, I think, was one of the first times like, okay, he's actually coming together as like an actor even.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought that he was really good in Snitch. What's he got on this play? Oh, now he's doing that San Andreas movie that we were just talking about.
Well, before that, he did the Fast and Furious movies.
Oh, yeah. And The Other Guys.
Oh.
He was good in The Other Guys.
Faster?
I never saw Faster. I kind of wanted to.
It was kind of good. I mean, nothing wrong with it.
But The Other Guys was funny. And even though I won't credit him as being...
But that
scene where him and Sam Jackson...
yeah.
Spoiler alert, but you know the scene I'm talking about. Yeah. When they're playing the Foo Fighters song and their arms are flailing in the... Oh man, that was... I was crying laughing when I saw that. Yeah, him and Sam Jackson were really fucking good at that. I think when he works in little small doses, like I said, Be Cool and Get Smart and The Other Guys, it's like, yeah, it really works when in small doses. I'm not saying he can't anchor a movie himself. I mean, I guess they're banking on it now with this San Andreas movie.
Well, G.I. Joe Retaliation.
Yeah, I guess so. Did you like him in that?
As far as the G.I. Joe fanboy getting over the fact that Roadblock is the main G.I. Joe, other than that, yeah, he did good.
I think he did do a good job. I thought some of that back and forth with Channing Tatum.
Yeah.
He's like, you love my panties. And that's an odd comeback. Yeah. Shit, no, you love your panties. You know, they had a little stepping over each other's lines, a little like, it almost felt improv-y. Yeah, I thought he was pretty good in that too. Yeah, I don't know if he's ever going to become a serious actor. You think in 10 years from now he's going to be like in dramas and wearing a suit, playing a lawyer? Do you see that in his future?
I wouldn't put it past him, but I can't see it. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't. But anyway, Anna, who else has?
I'm sure that there might be one or two other ones that I just can't think of right now. But
yeah, we were kind of winging. I'd have to really stop and think about that. Comeback kids like that.
All right, so folks listening out there, I hope y'all enjoyed this episode, and if you want to chime in and if you want to add to this list, feel free to let us know. Again, you can always catch us on facebook.com/popculturerewind and also on the Twitter at popculturerwnd, and or just shoot us an email at popculturerewind@gmail.com.
Oh, he's also going to be Shazam.
Oh, that's true.
I'm talking about the Rock again. But that's a big thing. He's got. I told you, everybody wants to get a piece of a superhero franchise. Anyways,
might be good.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, until next time, ladies and gentlemen, always remember to pop your culture.
You know who I wanted to mention? Speaking of Shazam, on the Ryan Reynolds was on my list, but I didn't want to get to it.
Ryan Reynolds.
You think he's good?
You know what? I can see where you would say that, but because he's been hit or miss, like B movies here and there, like comedies, things like that. But
I think he tried to get away from being comedic actor, and he tried to be like an action star and do serious movies like Amityville and stuff like that. And not that he's a bad actor, but
would you say
if he gets Deadpool, I think that's him trying to get back to his like wise ass comedic-y. Kind of roots, because I don't think anybody wants. And then he started doing like romantic comedies and stuff.
Yeah,
like The Proposal and the one where he's got the three wives. I forget what it's called. Definitely Maybe.
I've never even seen that.
Yeah, he started doing like romantic comedies and stuff too. And you know, he was started straying away from his wise ass shit.
As long as he get Deadpool, that's that'll be enough of a comeback for me for him. So
he was in Ted. Oh, and then Green Lantern.
He was in Ted.
I don't know. But yeah, well, we didn't talk about Green. Well, that was something else.
Green Lantern would be like definitely. It'll put him on the list for sure.
Mm-hmm. Adventureland, he was in that.
Would you consider the Wolverine movie like part of that?
In Origins, no, he was the best thing in that movie.
But the movie was bad.
The movie was terrible. But he was really good in it. He was in Smoking again. He's trying to do action, straight action, Smoking Aces. Just Friends, I thought he was hilarious in that. I actually really love Just Friends. I don't know. Maybe he. He kind of belongs on the list. I think he had a huge slump because he wasn't good. He wasn't like a good guy for that long. He had a few good movies, became a star, and then he just like started doing shit, making money.
Have you seen that movie where he was pretty much? I think it was called Buried. Is that what it was?
Oh yeah, where he's
in a coffin,
buried.
Yeah,
yeah. No, I didn't see it. I was like, is the whole movie going to be filmed in this? It is?
Like the whole movie.
That's why I didn't want to see it.
Like an hour and a half of like the camera, like right, like it's in him in a coffin. That's pretty much it.
God. Yeah. No, I didn't. It looked like that's what it was, and I avoided it because of that reason. The Change Up. That was another crappy movie he did.
You don't like that one? That was with him and Jason Bateman, right?
Yeah.
Jason Bateman. We didn't mention him.
No shit. He's, ever since Arrested Development, he's been on fire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that was a big, like, where was he before Arrested Development, pretty much?
Yeah, I mean, he was in, like, the Hogan Family.
Yeah.
And he's on top of the world with Teen Wolf 2. And, of course, there's nowhere to go but down after that. Oh, yeah, I forgot Jason Bateman. I even mentioned that, but when Ben Affleck, I said he was in Extract, starring Jason Bateman, I totally forgot about that.
That would have been perfect.
I kind of forget that he was... Because like it's been a long time since he's been back. I kind of forgot that he wasn't even around in the 90s.
It's like two careers.
Yeah. I totally forgot this. Oh, Mr. Bateman. Whatever happened to Amy Smart? She kind of went nowhere.
Yeah, she's like the next thing image to just didn't really pan out.
Yeah, apparently it says he's uncredited, but apparently Ryan Reynolds was in Ted. I don't know. I didn't see the Safe House either.
Maybe a deleted scene or something. I saw Safe House. It was all right.
Was it? Did you see RIPD?
No.
That sucked, dude.
Did it really?
It was like Ghostbusters.
It looked like it sucked.
It was like Ghostbusters meets Men in Black, but shitty. It was just not. It was. And I hate to say it, Jeff Bridges, he wasn't good at all. It was like he was just phoning in. He's like, I just use this voice in True Grit. I'll just recycle it and use it in this movie. The Captive. I don't even remember that movie.
Which one?
The Captive.
I don't even know.
And apparently he's also in A Million Ways to Die in the West.
I couldn't even tell you.
Which, yeah. And Deadpool, hopefully, will. Yeah.
All right. Are we done?
Adventureland. He was good in that.
Adventureland? Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Because he wasn't trying to be funny. He was actually acting in it. Yeah, he was good in it. Even Kristen Stewart wasn't bad in that movie.
Well, if there's another way to end a show, I don't know.